Turn your Bibles to the text that we read this morning as we started our service, Philippians chapter 1. Let's stand for the reading of the Word. We'll read verses 3 through 11. And we're going to call today's message, Feeling God's Joy in Prayer. Feeling God's Joy in Prayer. Hear the Word of the Lord. In other words, hear the truth. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he that began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God Father. May it be so. May we latch hold onto the secret that Paul is revealing here about having joy in prayer and feeling your joy, that we might pray with your joy. This is our prayer today, that you might be glorified. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray, amen. And you may be seated. For those people that regularly attend this church, you probably realize how much we emphasize prayer in our services. We open with a pastoral prayer, and sometimes we have another one before or after we read the scripture. We have our pool of prayer, right, during the offering music where people are putting their prayer requests and everybody gets one from each other. We pray for everybody. Then after the offering, we pray over the offering. And then as the others continue to worship in song, we have people up front praying for one another. Then at the end of the music portion, we pray for the kids going to their classrooms. And then we have another pastoral prayer after the message. And sometimes we also have the whole church pray for specific instances and specific times. And I hope the people who visit this church also notice our reliance on prayer and that it's not just us going through the motions. Prayer matters to us. We visit the subject of prayer. We examine the contents of biblical prayer quite often in our sermons, our teachings, our messages, our writings. You may remember some of the titles of our sermons about prayer, such as The Pastor's Pulse, the People's Prayer, or The Prayer God Always Answers. This is How to Make Your Case. This is How to Pray. Passion for Prayer. This is How to Hinder a Prayer. Hear Me and Help Me. Protect me from me. Yeah, that was something there. Hear me and help us. Profound prayer made simple. And earlier this year, praying for success. Even on our website, we have a section dedicated, and it says, Prayer and the Christian, where we cover these things. All this emphasis on prayer is because prayer is valuable. It's supposed to be a vital part of your life. It's supposed to be a major emphasis in your daily routine, in your devotions, in your development, and your deliverance, and other people's deliverance, and your discipleship. Somebody approached Martin Luther one time and said, how are you able to find time to prayer amidst all your colossal business? He wasn't just a theologian, he was a children's teacher, and, well, Martin Luther, whatever. Okay? You know what he said? He said, I'm so busy now that if I did not spend 3 hours each day in prayer, I couldn't get through the day. Wow. That's the right perspective, not to pray 3 hours, but the busier you are, the more you better be praying. We have to keep the prayer fires hot. Why? Because we've been distracted. We become deceived as to what prayer is really all about. We think it's just a throwaway or, you know, it's not as important as everybody's making it out to be. So you just go through the motions. That's why we constantly emphasize prayer here and why I'm always coming back to it several times every year in sermons and teachings and things like that. Because we need it. I need it. I need it. I need it. Anybody need it? Still. Let's be honest with each other. Why does prayer seem like such a chore and a bore instead of a joy at times? Oh, me? Anybody? We pray, we pray, we pray. We still face with some of the same old problems. We have issues. And yet we're supposed to be praying for other people's issues. You know, it really does seem like we have every reason to be cynical in prayer about some people. And it feels like we really think they really don't want what we're really praying for them for. Can I say that again? Everybody listening? You get cynical. I get cynical. It's like, okay, I'm praying this for you, and this is what's best for you, but you know, I know that you don't want it. You'd be right there in your lap. It's not so much that we doubt God, but we doubt our own sincerity in praying for them because we feel like, yeah, right. That's nobody here, right? We see all kinds of opportunity to just give up on them or their situation. Doesn't that happen? Certainly, it can be a challenge to pray for such people in a joyous manner. Now, if everybody doesn't shout amen on that, you're just lying. All you prayer guys up front here, it's always that one, isn't it? Like, oh, don't come pray for me. Oh, boom, boom. I'm sure we can all identify with that. I know I can. I also know that I need prayer to sustain me. But you know what? Sometimes the very thing that's supposed to strengthen me the most is the thing I get wearied about. That's why this text is so important for us to study, take a look at today. Because Paul here, in this text, reveals the secret of joyful prayer, even in the midst of problems, pain, and persecution. I'm going to go through this real quickly before we get to these points here. But think about Paul's situation. Think about the Philippians situation. Paul was in prison when he wrote this. Did you know that? We read it in our text, and in verses 13 and 14 he talks about it. He's in prison. This is one of the things he wrote while he was in prison. He's talking about praying with joy for all of them, even though he's in prison. And they were under persecution. Let's read verses 27 through 30 very quickly. He says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent," because he didn't know if he was getting out of jail or not, Chris. He didn't know. "I may hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." Boy, that takes a lot of prayer right there. "And be not frightened at anything by your opponents." See, they were facing a lot of obstacles and a lot of opponents. "This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you," "for it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ Jesus, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engage in the same conflict you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." So here he was in prison, and they were people, he couldn't go help them by being there and doing miracles and all this kind of stuff. He could pray. Now it's not all he could do. He was saying, "I was doing it." And while he was in prison, and they were under persecution, and by the way, there was people out there that were preaching just to get Paul, to keep him in prison. They were preaching the gospel, and he said, "I'm happy they're preaching the gospel, but they're doing it just to afflict me. They're misrepresenting him." And by the way, there was misunderstandings in the church. That's why he was writing them, because they were having a little church split action. That's why he says in chapter 2, he goes, "Be of the same mind." Think about Jesus here. You forget what's behind, push on. In chapter 4, he goes, "You tell these two ladies to get together and to get together with all these people that are working in the Lord. Let the, you know, we talk about peace and things like that." That's about a church split he's talking about right there. So the point is that Paul had every reason in the world to be a little bit less than joyful. You think he's just making up words here? Or is this the inspired writing of the Holy Spirit through Paul's hand? Think about it. Again, he was in prison and they were under persecution. Let's do the preacher thing. I'm going to alliterate my thing here. He was in prison and they were under persecution. He was being misrepresented outside the church and they were having misunderstandings inside the church. There was a lot of obstacles and a lot of opponents. But amidst all of this, Paul was praying with joy. Look at how earnest his statements are. Look at how definitive his statements are. I tried to, when I read that, give the proper inflection. But look what he says in verse 6. "I am sure of this." Well, I don't understand the Bible. I just don't understand it. Look, you understand enough. And he says, "I am sure of this." You can be sure of that. You need to get something out of today or you're not saved. Bang. Just went right there. Somebody's got to get saved in here today. I can feel it. But I'm going to pray with joy because God's going to do it. Hallelujah. Give us confirmation of the Word. Verse 7, he says, "It's right for me to feel this way." Feel what way? To feel joy in prayer. He's in prison. People are out there not trying to get him out of prison, but trying to keep him in. In the name of Jesus, they're doing that. And he goes, "I have joy." He goes, "I'm not sure if I'm going to see you or not, but I want to see you guys doing what's right. It's right for me to feel this way. I have joy for you all." Look at verse 8. You wonder where this came from? Well, it came from the Bible. Or God is my witness. He says another place, like Romans 1:9, God is my witness. You ever done that? God is my witness. And you're hoping the lightning doesn't flash? God is my witness. Now, this isn't just someone talking a big game. This is inspired Scripture, and so God really is Paul's witness to us. There's something going on here that we can apply to ourselves. So what's his secret? How's he able to do that? What do we see emphasized in Paul's prayer that's going to help us to be energized in ours? Is anybody interested yet? I've got a little bit more intro here, and then we'll get to it. I don't want to set the table. I don't want you to just abandon this. Say, we've heard this before. We've heard these texts before. You're going to say something we already know. The title of the message is Feeling God's Joy in Prayer. Who wants that? I do. I need to refocus, and as I'm looking at this text again, it's a text we've preached on several times and from different angles, but I'm seeing this thing, and it's gripping me, and it's gripped me so much, I've got to give it to you. Because there's a secret here. Paul prayed with God's joy. He prayed with God, not just having joy, with God's joy. It's an amazing thing we need to get hold of. How can we pray with God's joy for people and their problems, even when they're still giving us problems, even in the midst of our own sometimes greater problems? Well, why should I be praying for you? You got your leg cut off. My head just got cut off. I'm just making that up, but you get my point? Isn't that the way we look at it? It's like, oh, you know, you think you got problems. Must be nice to be you. Right? Yeah, that's us praying with joy, right? We pray with envy. We pray with envy. We do it. Take my coat off. I'm transparent. Because that's what I do, is I read the Bible, I study the Bible, I talk to people, and I pray for people. And that's my hobby, and that's what I do, and that's what I like to do, and that's what tires me out. And I know some of these things, and I'm sure Chuck and some other people really know these things. And yet Paul is saying something here. Get down in there with Paul. What a prison are you in right now? Your health? Your finances? Your relationship or lack thereof. You have these question marks about God that need to turn into light bulbs, that need to turn into exclamation points. If you're feeling God's joy when you're praying, then you know God's real. Because in the midst of all these horrible things, if you're still feeling joy about God in that, that's God. Hello. And so I'm not going to say, and we're going to pray, and then everything's going to be peachy king. God doesn't want it that way. Oops. Oops, why? Because if everything is going not so great, and you say, I'm just holding on, I'm going to do what I heard you say it. We're just going to do what's right anyway. That gives God glory. No, it's not like, yay! But when we give God glory anyway, that shows that the power is of God and not of us. We say it all the time. You know, church is a hospital for sinners, not a showcase for saints. But you know what? It's both. It's both. Because people that are sick go to a hospital to get well. And then if we have this great hospital here or there, you know what the hospitals do? We're one of the top 50 in this. We're this. We're this. We can be a church where people get emotionally healed and where we can help each other in our finances, in our relationships, and that we can give God glory even when some of us are really down and we're praying for one another. We had someone, brother, pray this morning, say, the caring people of the church, that's what we want to be known for. But in order to give Christ glory, not just because we're just social justice and we're just nice people, the Kiwanis Club can do that, baby. This is about giving God glory. And sometimes it gives God glory when it ain't so glorious for us. Paul's in jail. I'm trying to get you to think about that. Paul is in jail, and he's writing about joy. Come on. No, I'm not there either. But sometimes I feel that. Sometimes I'm thinking about somebody else, and I'm getting joy. You're feeling God's joy. It's supernatural. I'm going to show you that from the Scriptures. Let's learn some Scriptures. Again, how can you pray with joy for people in the midst of your own problems, even when they're more than the other person's like, oh, I'm hit, I need you. Like, I need you. I'm the one that's bleeding. You've got a cut. Preachers, pastors, ministers, all people who want to be a real disciple and want to really disciple other people need to understand these things because they will help you do better and not become bitter. It's key to serving others and leading others, what we're going to talk about. How can this text inform us, inspire us, and instill us the powerful, sustaining prayer life that God wants us to have? You know, I love discovering fresh sources of joy in the Word to help me in my walk and my witness and my warfare. My war, baby. Other people, they've discovered this secret. They discovered Paul's secret, like Martin Luther. So we quoted him already, and we're going to quote him 3 or 4 more times. Because I have a feeling he knew what was going on here with this. So how can we feel God's joy in our prayers? Paul's first emphasis was on God's perfect and perfecting plan for believers. The first thing, look at verse 6. Just 3 main points, 3 little phrases. Are you ready? And I'm sure of this, that he, that's God, who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The first thing is faith in God. Faith in God. You have to believe in providence. What God starts, he finishes. And we got to understand that God is the one who initiates this all. He's the one that starts all this. Jesus Christ inhabits the lives of born-again believers by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, someone said earlier today, he's the author and the finisher of the faith. But not just the faith, but also your personal faith. And he uses the instrument of prayer to propel the progress of believers. If you have faith in God, then you can have faith in prayer. Andrew Murray said this, faith in a prayer-hearing God will make a prayer-loving Christian. We can have faith in prayer because we have faith in God, so we can have faith in His plan for His people. They're going to make it. They look really bad now, but if they've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, they've got that stamp of authenticity, of security, right? Of God. And He's the ultimate mailman. That thing's going to get there. Maybe a lot of bumps and bruises, but they're going to get there. You seriously underestimate the power of God if you think people are going to walk back and forth out of that. No way, baby. He bought you. He redeemed you. Now, some people just aren't. Or some people may be the elect, but they ain't the converted yet. And they go back and forth and all that, and you keep praying for them. But how many people here got, quote-unquote, saved, and then they didn't do just like everybody else? They kind of went back a little bit here and there. Or maybe they sometimes still do. Oops. Praying for you with joy. Because what God starts, He finishes. It's His salvation. He's redeeming a people for Himself. For His glory. There's going to be a glorious eternity for all Christians. Everybody can agree with that. Jesus guaranteed it by His own resurrection. Martin Luther said this. Now, this is so powerful. I had to get this in here, and I want you to see this. Because, again, like Cameron, we're studying on Wednesday, and you see this power of the resurrection. It's the same power that's in us. And we talked about, the redemption of God. We talked about all these things over Easter and all that. And you know how marriage is like a picture of God's love in Himself, the Trinity, and you see these things. And listen to what Martin Luther said here. Our Lord has written the promise of resurrection, not in books alone, but in every leaf in springtime. You know, you got those amaryllis out back, they get that long stalk, and then they come up with that beautiful red, and then a couple weeks later, they're gone. Then a little while later, they just come back. That thing at the bottom of your heart that I'm praying about is that the Holy Spirit would live so big in your life, you'd bounce back. You have to have faith that God's going to work to glorify Himself through His redeemed people. You see, if you're starting with, it's all just contingent upon us, no wonder people don't. You have to have faith in God and His plan. You have to have faith that God's going to work to glorify Himself through His redeemed people. If you're ever going to feel God's joy in your prayers when the chips are down. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, and he's talking about the resurrection, because of the resurrection, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your work is not in vain. Faith in God. You've got to develop that. Not TBN, word of faith, faith. I'm talking about faith in the sovereign plan of God who rules the universe. We sang it today. He's the Lord of every man. You say, well, no, He isn't. Yes, He is, whether they want to admit it or not. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This thing's going to work out. It may not seem like it's going to work out. Maybe some things happened that you weren't expecting and you're thinking, people try to blame you for it. No, God's got it. Just have faith in God. Even if you mess it up, you were messing it up, spitting Him in the face when He saved you. Why is He going to go? He's not going to love you any less now. He loves you. You're yelling and screaming at God. Well, He's like, well, thank you for at least acknowledging me, and I still love you. Have faith in God. Not for what you think you want, but that He is going to get what He wants. That's the beginning of it. Now, are you listening to me? He was in jail. And instead of saying, If God doesn't get me out of jail, then I sent that 1995 in for the wrong reason to the purple hair lady. I'm sorry. Faith in God is not what people are making it out to be. It's not the faith of God. God doesn't have faith. God has power. God doesn't need faith. We have to have faith. And it's given to us by God. You've got to believe in providence. Again, it leads to our second point. Because Paul had faith in God and his eternal plan, listen, here comes you now. Go, I know that. Here we come. He had hope for the earthly future of the people he was praying for. Because he saw the big picture, he was able to have faith for the little picture. Let's look at for verses 9 through 11. Are you with me? Do I seem like such a meanie right now? If I do, just have some faith. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge. Look at what he's praying for. With knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Again, you have to have faith in God. You have to believe in providence. You have to have hope for life. That's the second part. If you have faith in God, you can have hope for life. This life. You have to believe in progress. People say, well, you know, they're just never going to change. You don't have any hope for yourself or the rest of the universe. If you don't believe that the Spirit of God can change people, not that you always see it all the time, but if you don't believe that people can change, your 12-year-old, your 3-year-old, your 58-year-old, whatever it is, no matter when they started, then you don't have any hope for the future or anything. Because if God can't change them, He can't change you. He can't change anybody else. And He did change you. And what He needs to do is change your attitude about how He can change other people. And I have to learn that and look in the, I should have brought my mirror again today. He says, I pray that all these things happen. Why? Because I know God, what He starts, He finishes. I know this. He goes, I'm sure of this. That He that began a good work in you will complete it at the day of Jesus Christ. You're like, well, they're going to be 0% to the last second. Then they're going to get 100%. That's the way I feel about them. But He didn't say that. There are people that they're oppressing and trying to keep them in prison by the way they preach. And He's like, no, I'm praying. I pray that all these things happen. He wouldn't pray it if He didn't believe. This is inspired Scripture. Prior, this thing can happen. It can happen. God can change and develop and deliver people. Amen? Hope for life. This life. They can grow in discernment. Okay, psychology majors. They can become self-aware. They can. You're like, I just wish they would really get it. It doesn't seem like they're the same person they were 20 years ago when they started coming to this church. I just don't get it. I wish they would just find out. Well, maybe you're just supposed to tell them. And then just get prepared. But people can become self-aware and God-assured. They can discern things. They can be filled with the Spirit. I'm not going to go into every phrase here. I'm not going to micro this. I'm going to macro this. Got that, preachers? You know? They can be filled with the Spirit and have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Look at the text. Look what it says. He's praying for this. Why? Just so that they feel better about themselves? No. What's the big thing again? Who's it about? He says, to the glory and praise of God. So if God's going to get glory out of you changing and becoming better and giving Him glory, do you think He wants that to happen? Yeah. So should you have faith in God? Because He knows He's going to eventually get there, right? So can He start to get there some now? Yes. And, ooh, I can prove it right now. Because if you start praying that way and start meaning it, then you just, at least that changed right there. Keep that in mind. Look at the text. It says it will give God glory. And you know that's the main aim of it all. The prayer God always answers, folks. You ready? This is going to sound so radical to some of you. The prayer God, well, He answers every prayer. Just sometimes He answers with a no or wait or whatever. He's hearing you. He answers you as if you knew how to pray. We covered that in a sermon called Passion for Prayer. The prayer God always, always, always answers, are you ready? Is for fruitfulness. John 15:7 says, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That seems unreal, doesn't it? No, I've done it. That's not real. But it's clarified by verse 8. By this is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be My disciples. Paul was praying here for their fruitfulness to give God glory, and God will always answer that prayer. Now you're saying, no, that's not true. I've been praying for these things. I've been praying for my job or for this or that. And you know, I'm not giving Him glory in that area. That's not true. You think, well, things aren't going the way that I want them to. And I do want to give God glory. That, and you may mean that. But I want you to think about Habakkuk 3, verses 17 and 18. Think about this here. Ready? Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, everything stinks. That's all he says. He goes, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Joy is a what? Fruit of the Spirit. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. God can give you joy in your prayer even when all the other measures of the success are down. And you don't believe that, you're not having faith in God and hope for now. You want to feel God's joy, you've got to believe in it. You got to believe in His providence, and you've got to believe in progress. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been doing it. You need. I mean, I want it. And sometimes, maybe I feel it. I know Paul was feeling it here. He was writing from jail, and he wouldn't say, well, you know, jail this, jail that. He goes, I'd like to get out of jail so I can help you. But for me to live is Christ and die is gain. He's on between a rock and a hard place. Could you really say that? I'm not the Apostle Paul, but you know what? I have the same Holy Spirit He did. Again, we can say we don't see any fruit, but the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And we can see here, even when other measures of success are suffering, we can have joy. Paul was in the midst of like despair. Things were going bad. People were after him, trying to kill him. The safest place for him was actually jail. He was getting the whole Roman guard saved. It's kind of working out for him that way. He goes, this is working out. You can read the rest of the chapter here. He goes, this is working out for the furtherance of the gospel. Me sitting here. Then they got a captive audience, they got to watch me, and they're all getting saved. That's why they wound up putting him in his own house for 2 years. Because he got everybody saved, Chuck. Imagine that. They're putting you in prison, they're beating you to death and all that. Think about Stephen. They're stoning him. You know how they stone people? They laid you down and dropped a big rock on your chest, then they sat you up and started throwing stones at you. Forgive them for the, you know, what? Why would, no, not me, man. I'm at least cuddling up and going, oh, please, Lord, let this be done. You hear about the martyrs, and they, you know, Polycarp and others throughout the church fathers and all that, and they're getting burned to death, and they're just laughing. Giving glory to God. Some people say, well, it's because they didn't feel the pain because God did. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I don't know. Mind over matter. I just tell you, this is supernatural. And in the midst of your pain and in the midst of your problem, in the midst of your obstacles, you can have opportunities to feel God's joy while you're praying for other people. Paul was doing it. He goes, I thank you all. In every prayer, with joy. Wow. Giving God... I'm on the third page here, right? Okay, three pages of notes. Here we are, 11:45. We're good, right? We're good. I just want to be real with you today. I know that this can be tough, but this passage speaks to you, man. Giving God glory is the secret to enjoying Him. And that's the answer we need most of all. That's the answer they need most of all. It's the answer we've got to keep discovering. Oswald Chambers, you know him, he said this, we have to pray with our eyes on God, not on the difficulties. Here comes Martin Luther again. Let this sink into your soul. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of His willingness. He's willing, baby. He's willing. He wants you to have joy. He wants it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We talked about peace last week. Great sermon. Peace. Talking about the fruit of the Spirit. You're talking about being filled with the Spirit. You're talking about the Word of God. You're talking about things God wants. And when you're beholding Jesus Christ and beholding fruit of the Spirit and these wonderful things that supernaturally can come about by the power of the Holy Spirit, what's happening? The Bible says we're changed from degree to degree, from glory to glory, as we behold the Spirit of God. You see what I'm saying? You can change. God's got this overall plan where you're going to be perfectly changed. You're going to be just like Him. He's going to bring many sons to glory. We're predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. And so some of that starts happening now. Some of it starts happening now. We've been talking about that for weeks. And it can happen for other people. And you don't have to just give up on them. You can just keep praying. And even if you don't see them changing, if you're having joy for them praying, then something's changing. Faith in God. Hope for life. Hope for life. If you're willing to give God glory, then He'll be filling you with His joy. Leads us to our third point. Finish up strong. What we need for the power of God in prayer. Again, faith in God. We need to believe in providence. Hope for life. We need to believe in progress. Lastly, love for people. You have to believe in perseverance. You have to believe in perseverance. Look at verse 5, and then we'll read verses 7 and 8. Look at verse 5. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you're all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Loyal partners make for loving prayers, there's no doubt. Say, but the people I'm praying for, I'm getting there. I set you up on purpose. He says here, he says, I hold you in my heart. I'm trying to parse the verbs, looking at this, looking at that, being all fancy, and I can't figure it out. I look at the commentaries, and neither can they. It can read both ways. You know what this means? It means I have you in my heart, and you have me in your heart. It means both. In other words, love give birth to love. Passion for people and passion from people. Some may stray from us and from God, but even in trouble there will remain some people who are steadfastly loyal to you and to God. Maybe not the person that you want right now, but there's other people praying for them, just like you. And they're feeling God's joy. They're saying, it's coming, it happened to me. They're coming back. They're going to start coming again. They're going to be, you know, so something's going to happen. It's going to be good. I'm praying for you. That child, that young adult, those people, we're praying. I love you. I have you in my heart, and you have me in your heart, because we're praying for the same thing, because of course we want them to be saved. Of course we want them to get off the bottle. Of course we want to get them to stop looking at pornography. Of course we want them not be a homosexual. Of course we want them to love their wife. Of course we want them to have a wife or a husband or whatever God wants for them. But we want them to have joy. And they can have joy if they're feeling God's joy when they pray for other people. Man, that's a good fix. You know what I'm saying? Go back to that. Paul's doing it. What do you think Paul's doing all day? He's preaching, and when they're like leaving him, he's not going to be in any trouble. Let's get away from this guy. First of all, they had somebody chained to him. What do you think he's doing? He's praying. Oh, so him and Silas were in jail. Da, 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 da. And what did he start doing? Praying and praising. He said, this must be part of God's plan too. I don't understand all of it, but I'm going to pray and praise. And then when the earthquake happened, you would think, okay, God's mad or whatever. He didn't leave. He stayed there. Sometimes you got to be put in prison to set someone else free. Yeah, man. Because there's going to be other people at that battle line. And when everybody's in a dark place, who are they looking for? The one with the light. Who's that? So let your light shine. We see here the proper perspective on believers, sufferers, and ministers. What does he say in Hebrews 13:3? Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. Big time point I'm about to make here in a moment. If we have empathy for the people, we will have energy in our prayers. I believe in you because you believe in Jesus. Paul, ready? Everybody, please be listening now. Paul is genuinely joyful for them. This is not throwaway words in the scriptures. He doesn't do that. He was hopeful for them. He was joyful for them, hopeful for them. He was striving in prayer for them. And this is supernatural. Look at verse 8. For God is my witness. Now, he's not just saying, God is my witness. He is saying that. But he's saying God is giving witness to what he's about to say. Hear me? Listen to what he says. How I yearn for you all. Well, the King James says, in the bowels of Christ. It's strange language for today's language. But it says here in the ESV, with the affection of Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is not just about how much Paul is sincere in his prayers for them, but about how much that God is involved in Paul's prayer for them. Paul is invested in them because God is invested in them. We're talking about praying for believers. God is giving power to Paul's prayers so that his prayers are deeper than human prayers. They're empowered by the presence of God's love for them. Paul is praying with God's affection for them. He goes, I'm telling you, that God is my witness. I am striving you with prayer, and I'm feeling God's love for you in doing it. I'm praying for you with the affection of Christ Jesus, and believe me, Christ Jesus loves you. Look at the cross. Wow, a whole new level. I never thought about that before. Let's come on. Let's go. His prayers are empowered with God's own joy for his own people. He goes, I pray with joy for you all. because I know God's got this plan. And I know that you can approve things that are excellent and you can give God glory. And it's right for me to feel this way. You've been with me and I'm praying for you. I promise you, God is my witness. I'm praying with God's joy for you. It gives me joy. I need this. You need a little joy? You're in a prison? Pray for somebody else. Have faith in God and His ultimate plan. Have hope for life. And have love for people. We said earlier the truth that the power of the Holy Spirit makes Jesus indwell believers, right? But you got to remember something else. We're a part of other believers as well. Romans 12:5 says we're members one of another. You say, I got Jesus in my soul. Guess who else you got? Guess. That's right. And you. Yeah, that's why we need you. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, one with Jesus and one with each other. So when you do that thing, that'll put the fear of God in you, right? It does to me. I think about it. Oh, Jesus is watching. Yeah, and charity's feeling. Oh, wait a minute. I'm talking about spiritual stuff. We're members of one body. One body. He's the head. We're the body. You're going out and getting drunk or whatever. Your finger may not feel it the same way your heart feels it, but you know what? Your finger's drunk. It's a new level for you, isn't it? Paul said, I'm in pain. I'm in prison. You know, I'd rather probably die and just go be with Jesus. But you know what? For me to live is Christ. And if it's Christ, it's also His body. His body. Love for people. That's why you got to develop a love for people. Because you want to see Him change. You have faith in God and you have hope for change. And you're going to have joy in it because God is going to do it. And you better be, oh, at least feel the joy for it. Otherwise, you're going to be despairing for them and for you. Am I making my point at all? We're all members of one body, the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says we've all been baptized by one Spirit into one body, men made to drink of one Spirit. The same God that has a plan for you is the same God that has a plan for them. The same God who's changing you is the same God that's changing them. The same God that loves you is the same God that loves them and loves us together in Christ. So we have every reason to have joy in prayer. Joy for them in prayer. God's joy because God joys in us. And so we can joy in each other to the glory of God and in joyful prayer. Yes, it pains us when they're not following along as they should. But you can still have joy that God is going to get it done. It is going to happen. And so you can have hope that He does change people now because you can think about times when they have changed. You can remind them of that. When they say, what has God done for me? You say, God's done this, 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 and He's having me talk to you right now. No one can ever say, what has God done for me lately? Because I'm coming to your door and talking to you. Bad breath and all. No way! You're not getting away with it! I won't let you. Don't let me. Love, for that's love. Love isn't people letting you get away with what you want to do. It's them helping you do what you ought to do. That's love. The truth is, God is going to get this thing done and give Himself glory. And in the meantime, it gives Him glory for people to change. So you think He's going to answer that prayer? Yes, and you can have joy about that. Yes, I want your car to work and you to have a job. But I want you to give you God joy if you have to walk everywhere. You can do it. How great is it that we can discover God's joy by having it for others? I always think about people that aren't here. You got 80 here, and you got 50, 120 that aren't here. But I still have joy. I see them and I think, God's going to get them. If they're saved, someone's going to talk to them. They're going to have a chance to witness, and they'll feel bad if they didn't, and they'll feel good if they did. And God's going to say, I love you either way, and let's just do better next time. The Holy Spirit's with you. All I have to do is give out the Word of God. The Holy Spirit can be the Holy Spirit to you. Same one in me, same one in you, same one in us. Again, it's a great thing. And you got to develop it. Keep having faith in God. He's going to get it done, even if they look like a schmuck. They can change because He changed you, you schmuck. I can love them even if they really are a schmuck. It's praying in the Spirit, folks. It's praying God's will. With the fruit of the Spirit, the life of Christ, who He is, what He's done, what He's doing in us, in mind. Martin Luther. Must have had this in mind when he said this. Grant that I may not pray alone with the mouth. Help me that I may pray from the depths of my heart. We say what Paul did here and elsewhere, again, like in Romans 1:9, for God is my witness. I can say that about some of you for sure. God's my witness. I pray for you with the joy and love of Jesus Christ. And you think I'm mad at you and I haven't seen you in a few weeks and I know God's got you and He's got me. And I make excuses to you and you make excuses to me, but God loves you, I love you, and you are my friend. Paul Dickinson, you are my friend. And I pray with God's joy when I pray for you. You got yourself a beautiful wife. Ha! You know what I'm saying? What a joyful thing is that? And then she comes to church, sings, got family going on, hadn't seen your sister in all those years. Right? Then you got some wayward children. Right? Some things that didn't happen in the right way. Right? Do I pray with meanness? No, I pray with joy. The only thing I get mean about is say, God, take the devil's hand off those people. God is my witness. God is my witness. Little Charlene, God is my witness that I've prayed for you since you were 5 years old, so I begin to know you. You drew me that little picture. It's like an egg. You remember? It's like this. There's God. There's JD. There's us, you know? Think I forget that? I still have that. God is my witness. Do people feel that from you? God is my witness. I feel nervous about calling you. I want you. And then you're like, no, we're going to come every week. I'm like, you're driving 100 miles. We're going to do it. God is my witness. When I say that thrills my soul, I'm telling you, it does. Paul's prayers weren't superficial prayers. They were earnest and honest prayers. Us can be that way too. If we will have faith in God, hope for life, and love for people, we can feel God's joy in our prayers. Has the fire gone out? We have to keep the things in focus. That's why the fire dies out when we don't. There's always going to be problems. Always going to be pain. There's always going to be persecution. There's always going to be poverty. And there's always going to be prison. You know why? Because there's always going to be people. There's always a lot of obstacles. Always a lot of opponents. But there's always Jesus. And so we can always pray with joy even when praying through and for problems. If you believe in providence, if you believe in progress, if you believe in perseverance, you can always have the proper perspective in prayer. And even if things aren't changing, you can still have joy in God and feel His joy in you praying because He wants you to pray because it gives Him glory. Because saying, I believe in Him, I belong to Him, I will pray to Him, I will worship Him, I will pray to other people because He wants me to. That's called being obedient. And if you don't think that doesn't fill you with the Spirit, you don't pray enough. I'm not trying to beat you up in prayer. What did Martin Luther say? You're not trying to make people feel bad. You want to say, and if you don't pray 3 hours, you won't feel like me. He said, look, I got so much going on, I better pray or I'm toast. You want to know why I don't get any sleep on Saturday night? I've been doing this long enough now not to be stupid and try to make sermons on Saturday night. And of course I did it. And if I preach from the Psalms, that's usually what I did. Oops. But anyway, my mentor taught me that. He goes, Dr. Ballard, we know when you did Saturday night sermon because you preach from the Psalms, because they just preach. You know, because David's heart's exposed. You don't have to investigate and dig out. It's just there. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's just there. Point is, I've been doing this long enough that I don't usually do that. Usually, you know, it's an embarrassment of riches. The Bible's an embarrassment of riches. There's enough to preach, believe me. It's knowing how to preach and how to do the macro and the micro and the points and kind of letting it grip you so you can grip others, you know. It's that. But I don't sleep on Saturdays, and it's not because the sermon's not ready. It's just I need to feel it with me right then, and that's why I don't. You know why? Because God is my witness. I'm yearning for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And that is the truth, and that's the truth. That's the truth. And I want you to be, not think it's I'm so great or anything like that. I want you to think Jesus is great and that His Word is clear enough for you to look at and study and understand for yourself. And you can take these truths and give them to somebody else. And that's called discipleship. You're being discipled so that you can go and disciple. Walk and live and disciple. Disciple-making machine. Who's on your phone list? Who's getting discipled? Hello. But I got three children. You got three disciples, or do you? If you believe in providence, progress, and perseverance, you can always have the proper perspective in prayer. You can feel God's joy in your prayers. It's your decision whether you'll do it or not, and that's the question you've got to answer today. I don't need to do no altar call. I'm pressing you to make a decision. The altar's in your heart. This is a wooden table with a Coke on it and a Bible on it. You sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and you'll always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and respect. You may not be able to reach the PhD this week, but you know what? If your life speaks, God will use what you got. Right? You can do it. You can do it. Father, we do have faith in you. Father, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to preach the sermon at the end of the prayer like they tell you not to do. But, you know, I got to remind myself of these things. We know we have faith in you. We got to believe that that providential move is something that gives us hope, not only for eternity, but for the earth, for right now. And we do, because we've changed. And we feel your joy. Help us to have this love for people, that we feel your joy, that we would have empathy for people, that we might be energized by you. And we could say with Paul, God is my witness. It's right for me to be this way. I have joy for you in all my prayers, even if they're spitting us in the face. Like they did Jesus. Peter was going to deny him and he said, I've prayed for you. Lord, even when people deny, the power of the Holy Spirit's real sometimes. I think, what's going on with me? That you'd flood them with joy and love for someone else. That they would pray and they could say, God is my witness to this. Father, witness by the power of the Holy Spirit to our spirits. That we're the children of God. For your glory. And in your name we pray. Amen.